me a few minutes ago.
Yeah, man.
But you got to push that off.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
You got to push that off. Yeah, I could have stayed home, went to sleep so quick and easy.
Yeah.
But I got a job to do.
Amen.
You know, when you get up in the morning, you're sleepy. Yeah. But you head on to work because you got a job to do.
Right.
You got something to do. It's an obligation. Yeah, right. I was thinking about the queen, you know. She don't just sit back and do nothing. This is probably a little loud. She don't sit back and do nothing.
Right.
She's got an obligation.
Right.
She's got to make an appearance.
Yeah.
She's
got to
set a standard, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody's looking at her. And you know, the whole world is looking at the bride of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Looking to her for life. It's the only place where
right.
life's at.
Amen.
You know, it's amazing the position that we're in. If this
right.
was just church,
ah,
you know, maybe, but this ain't church.
No.
This is He Himself. This is real.
Yeah.
You know, you see somebody out just having church and they're getting all worked up, and you think, well, that's kind of in vain. But this ain't in vain.
No.
This is real. You come here, we got a loaded gun
right.
tonight. This is worth working out.
Amen.
You know, because your flesh is flesh. I don't care
right.
who you are, flesh is flesh.
Right.
It gets in the way, it's got to be. Like Brother Jim was saying, you just got to put spurs in it and ride
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
It's
yeah. got
to go when it's time to go.
Amen.
So I'm thankful to have an understanding.
Amen.
I'm thankful for the real
yeah.
that we have today.
Amen.
And it's time to worship.
Amen.
It's not a song service, it's a worship service.
Yeah.
There should be some testimonies.
Yeah.
There should be somebody getting their sides gouged a little
right.
bit. There should be some flesh that's going to get with it.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, Lord, I don't want to get rebuked again like I got Sunday.
Right.
I was embarrassed.
Amen.
Maybe it didn't embarrass you, but it embarrassed me.
Yeah.
I said, Lord, I don't like getting rebuked.
Right.
But the Bible says true. It's not pleasant.
No.
It's grievous.
Right.
But it says afterward,
right.
it yields peaceable
sweet,
fruit
sweet, sweet, sweet.
To them that exercise their body.
Amen.
You put it into practice.
Right.
You follow it. You take the rebuke.
Right.
You take the correction, whatever you want to call it,
right.
and put it in practice. Step out
Amen.
On it. God will make a way. God will
Amen.
Meet you right there.
Amen.
So I'm looking for a good time.
Right.
You say, oh, it's just Wednesday. Yeah, it is. This is Wednesday. It's church time.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Real quick prayer request. My mom's in the hospital doing some observations, so keep her in your prayers.
Yes, sir.
But aside from all that, I'm good. I'm glad to be here.
Amen.
Yeah, it's glad. It's beautiful to know a rest, Don, like
yes,
we talked about. It's beautiful to know that this is your part of the service.
Yeah.
And God gives you even an opportunity
yeah.
to do anything you do, whether it's to sing, shout, scream,
yeah.
whatever you want to do.
Worship
this is your
him.
Service.
Amen.
And it's a revelation is what it takes. You know, Brother Moore talked about Sunday morning there, talking about the Godhead.
Yeah.
Seeing yourself in the Godhead.
Right.
It's not enough to see it in somebody else.
Right.
And that's good. But that don't stop there.
Yeah.
Until it gets in you,
right.
when you see yourself as that eternal part of that cloth.
Right.
Jeremiah told those classes, people, I'm glad to be who I am.
Amen.
Now, they're not going to be upset being who they are over there.
No.
Still eternal alive.
Right.
But I'm glad to be who I am.
Yeah.
I'm pleased to know who I am.
Yeah.
I'm blessed to know my role in this hour.
Yeah.
I'm blessed to know that they without me are not even made perfect.
That's right.
I'm blessed to know that God's going to talk to me tonight.
Yeah.
And it's a guarantee, brother.
Oh,
it's not a hope so. I'm not coming here and saying, Lord, please. No.
I
don't have to beg Him. It's an automatic.
Yes.
Automatically know there's a receiver in
yes,
me.
Sir.
And God's going to talk to me directly.
Amen.
That is a personal revelation.
Amen.
Blessed to know that, brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
It's not just Wednesday. It's not just
no,
whatever.
Not just
no, it's an opportunity, Lord, that you've given me to come in here to worship.
Amen.
To
yeah.
thank you.
Let it be real.
Lord, you'll stir up my pure mind by way of remembrance.
Yeah.
Right.
You'll remind me one more time. My job, my obligation,
yeah.
why I'm here for it. As we talk about Sunday morning, it's loyalty here.
Yes.
Thank God I've got a loyalty.
Amen.
Thank God I've got a part to play in
Amen.
This.
Amen.
I'm not sitting on the sidelines.
No.
He's got me out on the field.
Yeah.
I'm saying, Lord, whatever you need me to do, block, pass, catch, whatever it is,
right.
I'm glad to be on the field.
Amen.
It's worship service.
Yes, it is.
But it's my worship service.
Him?
It's not your worship. It's my worship
Amen.
Service. Take it personal.
You
blessed, Brother Don.
Yeah.
Blessed beyond.
Amen.
Blessed beyond. I'm spoiled rotten.
Amen.
I got it all. Got everything. God's given me everything.
Everything.
He's given me His mind. He's given me every day. Just leads day after day after
yes,
day.
Perfect.
These doctrines are perfect, Brother Jeremiah.
Amen.
Oh, my strongest group of people there's ever been.
Perfect.
There's never been a people so strong.
Amen.
You'll never, ever in the history of mankind. I take that serious, Brother
Oh,
Doc.
My God.
Look back through the chasms of time.
We should.
Nobody's had so much revelation
Amen.
Than we have.
Amen.
Nobody's had the information that's never shine so bright as this day.
Right.
And we're blessed to see it. We're blessed to be able to sit in the book of Revelations and go through it from the front to the end and all the way back through. And not just go through it, but understand it. Amen. God's given us, brother, more perfect revelation on every bit of it.
Right.
Never been revealed, Brother Branham said. Never, ever been opened. The seals have never been broken before. But he came up here and broke it to you and me.
Yes.
He gave it to us. He said, in that day, oh my, you know the times at hand. You, when you can read it, when you can see it, when you can understand it.
Amen.
We know that hour is this hour.
Yes, sir.
Nobody's ever known that before, Jeremiah. Oh my, Jesus had a job to do.
Amen.
But there was things that God just didn't reveal to him. It wasn't even for him.
Right.
Oh my, it's for me.
Amen.
He's giving it to me.
Amen.
I'm grateful I can see it for myself.
Amen.
Oh, I'm blessed, brother and sister. I'm so blessed. Go ahead.
I wonder if we could sing it. We're in this church. This glorious church. And I wonder if we couldn't shake one another's hand.
Oh my.
And act like it. And don't sit down where you're sitting now. Sit someplace else. Shake yourself. Shake it up. You're this is part of your job.
Right.
To edify the body of Christ.
Amen. Come on up with these words.
We're in this church. This glorious church.
Amen.
We did not join, though I was born a new birth. Some glorious by His grace, not by my works. glorious church. I did not join, though I was born. I had a new birth. Some glorious day, I'll sail away, I'll sail away. It's by His grace, not by my works. I'm in this church.
Amen.
I want to sing page 28. Fill my way with love.
Amen.
28, name and believe. Yeah, go ahead.
Amen.
I'm so glad to be here. I'm so glad to be part of this. I'm glad to be part of the people that God has chosen to talk to and that we know more than any other people's known. I've just been dwelling on that, just thanking God for all that He's given me. And I'm just thankful, you know, this week I'm going to be married 30 years to a wonderful man. And I was just thinking this morning, I was thinking, you know, on our wedding day, you know, his vow to me was that as Isaac sought the fair young Rebecca, so I've sought thee and chosen you, you know, and he handpicked me. Amen. You know, God led him over to Indiana, and, you know, I just think about that, and I thank God that, you know, he did, because it's been the best thing that I ever could have had, and I'm thankful for, you know, just everything that we have went through our lives. You know, we've had a wonderful marriage, you know, and we've listened, you know, and you know, there's been a few little bumps, but really we haven't said, you know, we haven't had anything really, and I'm just thankful for that, you know. God has been good, you know, and, you know, raising our family, you know, they know what's right, but, you know, we have a peace with that. You know, they may not be here today, but we know, you know, they're going to be going with us.
Amen.
You know, those are the kids that are out, but, you know, I'm just thankful I have a peace, I have a rest, you know, and I just couldn't want for anything else.
Amen.
Fill my way with love.
Yes.
Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way Thou hast gone, leading straight to the land.
worship service. I love it when it starts like that. I like to shake it up a little bit. I like that what you did, Brother Don. That's a good introduction. Because what we have here is a good time. It may be Wednesday to them, but this is eternal life to me. It may be church normal to them, but this is God speaking to me. They may be in a form and a fashion, but I am breaking every tradition. They may not know who God is, but I see Him every single day. So I'm happy to be here tonight. I'm grateful. I'm loving what God is doing. You can be seated. It is good to be here tonight. My goodness. Thank you, Brother Don and the brothers getting it right.
Amen.
That's how it should be.
Yes.
You get it right, that atmosphere gets right, and then it just sweeps right in. The Lord just sweeps in there and just does what He needs to do. I'm happy to be here tonight, like I said, and I'm just grateful for what God has been doing. Now, I'm going to have my wife move further up. She's way back there. That's my feng shui. She's messing up my feng shui. Move closer up. I need to get close to you if I need to. I mean, if I want to just kiss my wife, come on up here. I'm going to kiss my wife. It's my service. I'll have myself a good time. Yeah, I got the floor now. You can testify. You can sing. I'm going to kiss the one that's blessing me. You know, what you eat don't make me full. You know, I loved hearing about Sister Ramona and Brother Ted. That's a wonderful thing. But she's been with me all these years. I'm going to give her a little praise. I thank God for it. You know, and what we get here, we should be a different group of people. You know, Pastor Moore was talking about the Godhead, and Brother Jeremiah was talking about the special classes of people. They tied in so good. What I'm going to talk about tonight is the characteristics of God. All those things tie in together. They tie in together. But guess what? When you have the Godhead right, you understand that God is condescending down in man, and you only can have it right when you put God in you. When God's in Brother Childers, that doesn't do anything for me. Guess what? I have to see it. I have to recognize it. But it can't stop there. God can't only use him. You know, when God's head is right, that means God is the head of my body. God is leading and guiding me into all truth. That's how you understand it. When you know that God is a part of you and he's the one leading and guiding you, you know you can't be lost if you try. I couldn't miss this if I wanted to. The other thing about it is when you have the Godhead right, this is how I like to say it, you will always, always amen the word. Because the God in you cannot deny himself. That's an easy test. That makes it so easy when you see it like that. You say, well, I've always said amen to the word. That must make it right. I get nervous, I tell you guys, if you start disagreeing with the word. Why? Because that means you got the Godhead wrong. Why? That means you don't know where God is at. Why? That means you don't recognize the word of God when it's in your midst. That's what happens to every age that misses God. They don't know where he's at. If they were following God all the way through, they would have been walking with the wise men when they went to go see Jesus. If they were following the Godhead all the way through, they would have went to the ark with Noah. They would have walked out with Moses. But unless you recognize where God is at, you're lost. The difference between us and them, I'm not lost. I'm not begging. I recognize where God is at, and I amen the word every time. Oh, my, my, my. So this thing has been good. We've been having ourselves a time. You know, Brother Jeremiah talked about the classes of people, and it was so beautiful. Because when you understand the different classes, you understand that your job is different than somebody else's job. You understand that. We talk about the cloth, but guess what? Thinking about my shirt. There's a pocket on here. It serves a different purpose. That means this thing can take something with it. This sleeve can't hold nothing. It's going to heaven. Sister Ramona said it right. Her kid's going to heaven. That's not even a question. I know my love was going to be there. But guess what? I have a different job to do. That doesn't make me better or worse than any part of this shirt. I just have some things that I got to carry with me that they don't have to carry. But guess what? It gives me some benefits on this side that nobody else gets. That's where the differences come in. I have a rest when nobody else has a rest.
I know where they're going to be when nobody else knows where they're going to be. I know what God's plan is when they can't hear God's plan. That doesn't change where I'm going. It just lets me know the directions when we're driving. Oh, I know that when we got to take a left on this street. I know that we got to take a right on this street. I know where we're going. I know where I'm going. Oh, my. There comes a peace when you know what's going on. If you know the way, I've been here before is what I can look at it and say. I know that there's a tree coming up. I know what's happening. I know what God has planned for this. I can look at this neurotic age and say, it has to be this way. It's got to get this bad. I know the way. I know this. And guess what else happens? Because I know so much of God's plan, I know I won't even be here when this world loses its mind entirely. I know I won't even be here. He would never put his bride, guess what class I am, he would never put his bride in that situation. So guess what? When they get scared, when they get worried, when they can't stop reading about North Korea, I say, even so, Lord, come. Because guess what? I will be out of here when that happens. That's a rest. That's a peace. There's some full understanding when you have the full word of God. There should be some differences. So when we look at these things, and I look at that, I'm saying, you know, God's word has similar characteristics throughout the ages. You know, I mentioned Noah and all that kind of stuff. I'm not saying that you should have an ark, you should have a staff, you have to. No, but there should be some things that are same throughout the ages when you're with God's word.
Amen.
There should be some things. I'm thinking about this. I'm looking at it and going to say, you know, I'm not turning water into wine, but I am freeing the people.
Yeah.
I am freeing the people.
Right.
When God comes on the scene, he's a freer.
Right.
When he comes on the scene, he's a healer.
Right.
When he comes on the scene, he's a deliverer. I'm free from the bondage of all the junky traditions that I wanted to put on how I thought it was to worship God. I freed myself from this crazy world and what I need to do. I am free from this law of sin and death. I look at this, I say, Satan, if you took this body, I'd raise it up again. I look at this and say, Lord, whenever you're ready for me to go, I'm ready to go. I understand that this is not my will, but thine be done. All these things tie together when you understand that. I look at this and I said, my goodness, regardless of the situation. Yes, Brother Childers, say something.
I married into a family. They call it regular Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even believe in fellowship with nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
Just themselves. They wouldn't even preach to people that call themselves Baptist.
They wouldn't
preach. If you wasn't regular Baptist, you were out.
Mm-hmm.
So I married into that family. And the mother of all the family, about 12 children.
Wow.
So here I were, the mother of my wife. She would come and stay with us some. They said, now you can't fellowship or get with Brother Childers' religion. You only get your own. Well, she would come and she liked to hear me. So she ended up obeying what I'm saying. And that stirred the whole nest up. But she said, I like to hear Earl. I can't help from believing what he says
right. Is
right. But they tell me don't receive it.
Right. They tell her.
Now, I went to the church funeral. They would preach their side and dismiss. Then the other group would come.
Wow.
This is what they do. I don't care if you're Baptist. You had to sit down if you wouldn't rag your Baptist and wait till they got done. When they got done, then you could get up, say your little bit. So I was raised up that way. But my mother-in-law, she said, I can't have it.
I just love to hear it. Amen.
I just loved to hear him talk.
Amen.
And I'd tell her, it's right. Mom, it's right. Well, they had several boys in the family, and they was all naturally regular Baptists. They was raised up that way. Strange to me that I wasn't raised that way. And you had to stay in a group that you was raised up. If you was raised in Baptist, you had to believe what they taught and nothing else. Well, I kind of won her over. They said, I'm going to listen to Earl, and I'm going to go to church with Earl. They don't want me to, but I'm going to go to church. 40 years, I come up with that, and bless her heart, she finally passed. Way of an age. They live long. A lot of them Baptist folks live. Way up.
Right? Something in the water.
I mean, 90 ain't nothing. Get up close to 100. They just put my brother-in-law away not long ago. He's just like a few months living 100. So you see, they put him away, and he would sit down and talk to me about religion. You weren't supposed to do it. But that family, 40 years. Anyhow, I'm saying 40 years, I've preached. And I'd go to their house. She would get that Bible out. And she said, I want to read the Bible to Earl. I said, okay. And all of her boys was old-time regular Baptists. I had to live with that, put up with that. But I knew what to do. It didn't bother me that much. When you know what side you're on.
Right. Amen.
You can let them take any side they want.
Any one side they want.
You got your side. And that's the way it was.
Amen.
My wife raised that way. Well, she married me. And she let that side go. I told you this, and you probably heard her say, I'd rather her all preach. And anybody else. My first wife believed that. I'd rather your Earl. And when she was going to glory, and they said, Bonita, you got 2 months or a little over to live. God's going to take you home. She said, the only thing that I dread is to leave Earl. She could leave my family, the girls and the boys. Only thing she said she hated, she wanted to stay and take care of me. That woman loved me with everything in her. Then I married Sandy, and lo and behold, if Sandy didn't love me the same way,
amen.
Brother Moore know it, and Clarice. And she loved me beyond. I thought, how can a woman love a man in such a way? So when she come down to go to glory, she said, the only thing I hate, leaving. God told us, I'm going to take you this year. She said, only thing I hate is to leave Brother Childers. I want to stay. I told him I'd come over here to take care of him. she says, Brother Childers, I want to take care of you. But the Lord told me I'm going to take you. So 40 years plus after she went home, 40 years, I put another 10 on it. Put another 5 or another 10 on it. I'm talking about God bless me. When I was up in 50-some years serving Him, and whatever He showed me that I'd done, Brother Branham said, you Baptists, Brother Morno, you had it wrong. He come right out. But he said, that's not so bad. I had it wrong.
Two. Right.
I had it wrong, too.
Right.
So, here it is, brothers. God have given me light on the whole thing.
Amen.
You know that, Brother Moore. You wouldn't have followed me if you didn't know that God dealt with me in such a way there was nobody like me.
Amen.
Right, Brother Moore? Why would you tell people if I wasn't right? Why would you tell I only hear Brother Earl? Brother Moore followed me to where he's at now.
Amen.
Is that right, Brother Moore? And I appreciate Brother Moore so much.
Amen.
The seal man turned down everybody else. Mm-hmm. And say, I follow one man.
Right.
And that's Brother Childers.
Right.
And he made a lot of people mad.
Sure.
He wouldn't follow nobody but me. Ninth grade education. Brother Moore ended up getting a college degree. I never was jealous of Brother Moore. I seen the man got a hold of something.
Amen.
And I thought, okay, if Brother Moore wants to hear me and won't turn nobody else loose but me, Brother Moore done that.
Right.
And I thought, wow. And I've seen Brother Moore, I'm going to shut up, come so far. I've seen him when he tried to preach and didn't know where he was at. I mean, in a sense, Brother Moore, you understand. And he didn't get jealous, and I didn't get jealous.
Right.
I thought, Brother Moore, my wife would go, we'd go to Dove, see? My first wife. She'd see them come in, the preachers. She'd say, here comes one of the preachers. She didn't have nothing on him for any preacher. Brother Moore knows that. I was the only preacher they was. But she said, here comes so-and-so. And she didn't see Shannon DeYard. She didn't have nothing for Shannon DeYard. He and his matches. So here comes Shannon. Said, he's not a preacher. He just talks. You know, Shannon talks a lot, you know. And that's the way he done it. As far as getting anointed and really going, Shannon didn't do it. So she'd say, here comes Shannon. All he does is just talk. said, I don't even like to hear him. And that would have kind of hurt me because Shannon, my brother,
right,
and her not having nothing for him, right. But you didn't change that woman.
No.
What she believed, right, she believed. So, but she liked Brother Moore. And she liked what he said. It don't mean that she didn't want to hear him. She would listen to Brother Moore. She thought, yeah, I'll listen to Brother Moore because he preaches like you.
Amen.
Preaches like you. So I had all this, and I told you the other day. I said, I want to church on Sunday night. I want to church. Brother Moore was pastor at that time. But I wanted to talk. The problem we had, I knew they didn't understand. Now, I'm not saying this to be mean or to down anybody. They thought I didn't know what I was talking about. First night, Sunday night, I got it. And Jeremiah told me he got it. Brother Moore said, now, Brother Silver, you can have my place. You can have Sunday morning service. You don't have to take Sunday night. I said, Brother Moore, it won't work. I got to have Sunday night. And nobody messes with me. In other words, I'm going to preach what I believe. And I did. And I got away with it. And Brother Moore, he said his a little bit. Arnell said his a little bit. And when I got up Sunday night, when I got done, they said, take you outside, I'll talk to you. Went out there and said, we believe. We have no problem. We just misunderstood what you were saying. Said, apologize. Am I telling it right, Brother Moore? All the ministers, they wanted to apologize to me. Even I got an apology, I think, from Brother Moore. He didn't have a lot to say. I was after the big fellows. You know, I mean, they want to put me down. But when they heard me, he said, he's right. We apologize. Arnell, apologize. And I don't know what Jeremiah done. Jeremiah said, I'll never do that again.
Sure, sure.
Other words, whatever he had, he ain't gonna. He made the statement. Brother Childress is wrong. This boy right here, I said, he's in trouble. Bad trouble. Saying the best man in here is wrong. I don't know if I'm going to live it down or not, but I didn't live it down. But he really believed that all the brothers was right and I were wrong. That was his statement. He wouldn't tell you that now. But I love Jeremiah and I thought, Jeremiah and Brother Moore is my best pals.
Right.
My best friend. All the rest of them was fences leaving.
there on
that. They're only two. Out of the bunch, the preacher that stayed with you.
Amen.
Am I telling it right, Brother
Right.
Moore? They were saying, okay, we'll follow Brother Childers. And up till now, they have followed Brother Childers, and Brother Childers followed God.
Amen.
So God bless you.
Bless you.
40 years, you don't find that much.
No.
They ain't around. 40 years and 100% on.
Right.
What I say is 100% right.
Right.
You don't find it.
No.
It's not out there.
Right. Amen.
But God called the man, called Earl Childers.
Right.
And I followed. I laid my life on. Here I am, I.
Amen.
So I'm going to let you have it.
Amen.
Now, 40 years, I'm still was right. I was right.
Mm-hmm.
You fell, no. How can that be?
God.
How can I, 40 years, pastor, telling everybody what's right? What's wrong? That's what I done.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I done. When you want to know what's right, I said, I'm right.
Amen. Amen.
When you want to know what's wrong, I said, they are.
Amen.
They are.
Amen.
So I've been right, brothers.
Amen.
And I love you, brothers. I don't have words. I don't have words. Brother Branham said, I had it wrong, too.
Right.
I thought, ain't that something? I'm following a prophet that said
he had it wrong.
That he, you fellows, Presbyterians, Baptists, you fellows had it wrong, he said. But it didn't stop there.
Right.
He said, but I had it wrong. He was a man to admit it. And I loved him. I believed his message. And when he said he had it wrong, he changed.
Sure. Right.
That's what he done. You mm-hmm. can't do any better than that.
No, you can't. When you find out wrong,
I'm gonna
right.
let you have it. My wife said, I'd rather have here Earl than anybody I know. I thought that wife is crazy. You don't usually hold your husband so high that you don't really care about hearing anybody else. That's the way my wife was. And I didn't even want her to do that.
Right.
Because she hurt feelings. She says, I don't want to hear them. They don't have it. She said, I want my husband's message. She went to glory, believing my message.
Amen.
God bless you.
God bless you, Brother Childers. God bless you, Brother Childers. Said a lot of good stuff there, Brother Childers. And, you know, talking about the characteristics of God. I love what you were saying about, you know, the long suffering, the time period, the time in. When you know God spoke to you, when you truly know it, I don't care what person, what man, what woman, what anything comes to tell you, you're going to stick with what God told you. That'll be the very proof that he told you, is that you'll stay with it. You know, and, you know, one of the things that about that is, you know, Pastor Moore even said, he said, you know, God told me this is my church. He stuck with it. He's been in it. He did not let go of it. And, you know, that's the same characteristics that they have, same things we should have.
Right.
You know, when God gives you a revelation, you stand on that.
Yeah.
You hold to it. Go ahead, Brother Charles. Y'all add to it.
Samuel Johnson, me and him, I believe Brother Price, went to Honduras. Brother Johnson couldn't preach the third pull. Didn't know anything about first and second pull. I come back a week early. Samuel Johnson followed me to the car. Said, Brother Childers, I'm going to preach tonight, third pull. That's what he said to me. You said I never preached a third pull, and I probably haven't. But tonight, I'm going to preach the third pull. And he led me to the car. I went to airport, caught a flight, and come home. I said, Brother Johnson, you don't know a thing about the third pull. I looked him in the face. I said, you don't know a thing. I said, how are you going to preach the third pull when you don't even know what it is? And he said, I'm going to preach it. I said, go ahead. And I guess he tried it that time. But here he was at a church in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And all of his minister friends said, we don't want the fellowship of Brother Children. We don't want to hear him. So Brother Johnson said, they don't want to hear you. He said, but they want to have a meeting with you. Sunday morning, this is Saturday night. Said, Sunday morning, they want to meet with you and have a meeting. In other words, to show you where you're wrong.
Right.
Said, will you take the meeting? Then they wanted to know. Said, ask him, will he take the meeting? I said, yeah. I'll take the meeting. I'll take the challenge. And come a time, I got up Sunday morning. I seen Samuel Johnson out there in the parking lot. Walking around like something wrong. I said, them brothers ain't going to have
anything. They backed out, yep.
Sure enough, they told him, said, we ain't ready. We ain't ready to have the meeting. So we ain't going to have the meeting with Brother Children. I said, I thought they wouldn't take the challenge. I took the challenge. And they backed down. And as far as I know, I said, Samuel Johnson, why don't you let me go home Saturday night? I wanted to go home. And you said, if you'll stay Sunday morning, they'll have the meeting. I said, I stayed all night. And they wouldn't have the meeting. Brother Childers been some man.
Amen.
If I have to tell you, Brother Childers had been some man. I have backed them all. Brother Moore knows it. Brother Moore and Jeremiah, proven fact. Who have I got with me?
Amen. Amen.
Well, what does that tell you?
Right.
Where's the rest of them at? A lot of them's in the grave.
Yeah.
Died. Some of them out here run over country. Mm-hmm. And me and Brother Moore and Jeremiah.
Still here.
Is the only one.
That's right.
That's still going in this message. Strong with Christ.
Right.
now I'm going to try to hush. You got it.
Okay. We love to hear you, Brother Childers. Amen. There's not a person in this church that doesn't love hearing what Brother Childers has to say. We're here because of you. Amen. So there's nothing you can say. We're here in this church, in this building, in these pews because of you.
Yeah.
So there's not enough honor that we could give you. When you say it yourself, we'll say it. Yeah, we love you, Brother Childers.
Right.
You've been a man amongst men. You're what we're judged men by. That's true. God bless you, Brother Childers. Give a round of applause. God bless you. God is real. He is real.
God don't take down.
Amen. Never has to take down.
I stood 87 years.
Amen.
I haven't taken down.
Amen.
I've won every battle.
Every battle. Amen. Amen.
I'm saying something.
Right.
I have won, hear me well.
Amen.
Every battle.
Amen.
I've ever fought.
Amen.
I've won it.
Amen.
With the help of Brother Moore.
Amen.
And Jeremiah.
Amen.
The two brothers I love.
Everything. Amen.
But I said, come on, boy. So to speak.
Come on, right.
Come on. I've whooped everything I've ever challenged.
Amen.
Hear me.
Amen.
Hear me well.
Amen.
I've whooped everything that's ever raised against me.
Amen.
Am I telling it right?
Amen.
There ain't a man that's raised up against me ever won the battle.
Amen.
I whooped every one of them.
Amen.
Where they at now? Scattered all over.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them in the grave.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 87 and still around.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. You got a battle you want somebody to whip? Get Brother Children.
Right, right.
He'll whoop everything.
Amen.
Now, I don't say this boasting.
No.
Y'all been with me.
Amen.
I've whooped every battle.
Amen.
There ain't a battle that's ever challenged me,
mm-hmm.
and I ain't whipped.
Amen, Lord.
Now, that's saying something.
Amen.
God knows I'm telling. If you had a battle then, give it to me. I whipped them. Finally, they said,
no moss.
No moss.
Let
him go. I can't do nothing with it. Just let him go.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad they let me go.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Brother Childers. We appreciate you. You know, I said it, and I'm saying it right. You know, we judge men by you, Brother Childers. That's how we judge if somebody's a real man. We go, well, you need to do this like Brother Childers. And I'm carnal in it. I don't care. I judge how hard somebody works by Brother Childers. I judge how honest somebody is by Brother Childers. I judge people's revelation by how Brother Childers is. That's just what I was raised under. And then I see Pastor Moore following lockstep. So it's the same thing, Brother Jeremiah, lockstep. That's how we got to be.
Right.
That's what we're judged by. So, Brother Childers, we appreciate you. The things that you put in us, invaluable. You know, and so I appreciate you. I'll read a scripture here, and I'll get on with it.
I preached that boy when he's just a boy.
Oh, my.
Right?
Yes, sir.
I preached all your brothers.
Yes, sir. You sure did.
I've seen them grow up.
Amen.
I've seen them just boys.
Amen.
And you know what? They've learned respect.
Amen. Amen. You're right, Brother Childers. Amen. We've come a long ways. Amen. So I'm going to turn over to John 14. And this is when Jesus was talking to Philip, and Philip was saying, show us the Father. You know, Pastor Moore references this in the service, and he was talking to, you know, people always say they want to see God, but they don't want to see him. They don't really want to see him. They don't want to hear him. They don't want to hear when God speaks. God will be correction. God will give you peace. God will rebuke you. God will do those things. People don't want that. And they fail to recognize where God is at. Jesus even said, he said, have I not been so long with you that you don't know who he is? And I'm going to read over here in verse 11. It said, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. I love that, because even when we think about what's been going on with this ministry, if you just think about the work's sake that this ministry's done, the freedom that it's given you, the peace that it's given you. The healings are one thing, but there's other stuff that we get here. I want more than a common cold healed. I want my loved ones to be taken care of. I want more than a headache gone. I want peace in this neurotic world. This thing has been true to me. Verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. That goes to my point. Greater works. Greater works. This is a many-membered body. There's some differences between us and them. The world denominates and separates and pieces off. We come together. We tie ourselves back into a body. All of our messages bring us closer. Even in the scripture where it says, gather yourself that much more as you see the day approaching. Not that much less. Everything we talk about pulls us more closer together. And I'm going to go down to here and read in verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The world can't receive this, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. We know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. That would be a horrible scripture, but I love to read on. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Perfect type of the Godhead. Perfect type of God coming down doing what he needs to do. When you recognize that God is in you, you recognize you get the same authority, the same benefits. And you know what? I look at this thing, and you know, God, when he amorphs and gets in different things, he is truly just limited by what that body can do. But he wants to be in this body. So he wants to taste water. He wants to feel love. He wants to feel these things. So I'm not sad that I'm in my flesh. I'm rejoicing that I have this body to work with, because it's only here for a little bit of time. I'm going to take advantage of every day I get, every second that I get. God chose to dwell in this body, and he wanted to be in this body. So all the things that he wants me to do, I'm happy to do them.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about that. These things that I was talking about is the different characteristics. There should be some similarities. You know, thinking about even with Brother Childers' message to Pastor Moore, to Brother Jeremiah, there's some similarities. There's people that hold steadfast to the word regardless of what comes across their path. There's people that will die to themselves regardless of what this world is doing. There's things that happen that when God speaks to you, you could care less what anybody else has to say. There's no distractions. There's no isms. There's not a job. There's not a woman. There's not anything that's going to get in the way of you and what God has asked you to do. So when I look at that, there should be some similarities amongst the body. I'm talking, when we talk about the classes of people, I'm talking to just the bride today. I'm not talking about the foolish virgin. I'm talking to the bride. The bride should look the same. You don't have to be black and you don't have to be white, but we should all believe the same thing. We all getting the same teaching. We all getting the same preaching. So guess who should be the strongest? We should be. Guess who should talk bold? We should. Guess who should walk with their head up and their chest out? We should. Because we know more than anybody else. That this group of people knows more than anybody has ever known. It's required. I need to know more. I got more demons after me. I need to know more. Satan is doing... you think about how much information can come across just your phone in seconds. I need to know more faster. I need Sunday night services. I need Wednesday services. I need Sunday morning. I need to hear from God all the time, because Satan is trying to put stuff in my ear all the time. I need things to combat that. I'm in an age where he's coming as fast as he's ever came, and guess what? God's got to move faster. He's always got to raise up a standard. There's always, and I was thinking about that, and I said, even in Moses' day, he knew his family was okay. When they had to put the blood over the door, he knew his family was okay. God told him what to do, and he knew what he needed to do. I know my family's okay. God's told me what to do, and I've applied it. Noah in his day, he knew his family would be okay. He was building an ark for them. He knew he'd be okay. I'm looking at this. I'm in this crazy world. I know that the flood is going to come in a certain situation. I know that this world is going to lose their mind in these things. But I know my family's okay. I know I'm okay. God has given me the knowledge of that. He didn't give it to everybody else. So when I look at all these things that we get, we know more. And I was thinking about this. I'm going to read over here in Brother Branham real quick. This is God identifying himself by his characteristics. This Brother Branham, he was hoarse there. He said, same thing he said. If my character doesn't identify myself, God in him, then he don't believe him. Now, he also said that he would be identified in that. Then that if he doesn't identify him, then he isn't what he says. And today, if Christ doesn't identify himself, the characteristic of Christ identifying us as being in Christ, believing the word, that's the true, that's where it starts. Jesus was the word, so he had to believe the word. That's why you can't deny the word. That's why you have to amen the word. And I'm not even saying you have to, like it should be voluntary. It's involuntary. It's like breathing. I just do it. I can't stop it. It's like my heartbeat. I only can believe. It's my nature. Guess what? I don't even have the option to disbelieve the word. That's why even the thought of it is foreign to me. Even the thought of wanting to disagree with the word is foreign. And I get that we need to grow. Brother Childers has talked about growing. And I'm thanking God, I've got so much behind me, I can't even let this world buy me. I love that song. You know, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I see that in my life I've had some growing to do. I've had some correcting to get. But guess what? Even Brother Branham had some growing to do. He had some correcting to get. I can look back and say, I was wrong, but I'm right now. I didn't have it right then, but I got it right now. I've stayed with the word. That's the difference. You see, you talk about Brother Childers and Pastor Moore and Brother Jeremiah. They've stayed with the word. So when they wanted to be wrong, God made them right. When they didn't know which way to go, God showed them the way. Guess what this little bride's got to do? Stay with the word. Every time we come in here, it's a constant reminder. That's why our services are so positive. It's such a constant reminder to stay with the word. You might be going through something. Stay with the word. You might be wanting to raise up. Stay with the word. You may want to get pride in your way. Stay with the word. That's been the prescription. Even when you think about what Pastor Moore says, he says, just get to the house. Why? Because that's where the word is. He's saying, stay with the word. That's all we get in here. That's why Jesus couldn't disagree with that. We stay with the word here. Nothing else is tolerated. This is a group of believers. This is when you talk about the special classes. This is, I'm the reason that they're having a ceremony. I'm the bride. Amen. I invite who I want to invite. I ask for who I want. You know, these types that we get in here, you know, we really don't even expound on them as enough as we should. You think about that, a wedding, and we talk about it a little bit, but guess who has the ultimate power of everything? I can make it start when I want it to. I can make it stop when I want it to. It won't even be a ceremony without me. I'm the bride. You think about that and go, my guests may be late. So what? My parents may not walk me down. So what? If I don't show up, there is no party. Who's the most important person in the room? Me. Who does God want to take care of more than anybody else? Me. Who does he want to see that is just so perfect to my liking? Me. I'm looking at this and saying, I know so much about what God wants to do because it's everything I want. He said, if I was going to prepare a place for you to your liking, and if it wasn't so, I wouldn't even have told you. I'm looking at this and saying, He prepared this message in such a way that it'd be just to my liking. That I'm in the last day surrounded by darkness, but guess what? It's light in here. Oh my, he prepared everything to my liking, so much so that he gave me the ministry that he gave me to deliver it to me just to my liking. I couldn't, you know, he was talking about his wife and saying that, you know, that she didn't want to hear from this and that. Guess what? I'm flesh. I don't want to be bored either. I don't want somebody talking my ear off either. I've been in college classes where somebody maybe speaks a different dialect and they drone on and I can't understand it. Then I get tired. I get sleepy. You bore me. I want somebody enthused about what they got. I want somebody that's got something that they burn regardless of whether you say amen or not. I want something that they're turned on and it turns me on. That's why they can look at Brother Childers and say, I'm a Baptist, but I just love to hear you preach. Because she saw somebody that was turned on by God. That's why when we come in here, we're turned on every single service. You know, God put me in this position to turn you on. He said, let me get somebody that's been in the mud with you a little bit. Let me get somebody that's been with you on Friday night and let you see how God can work. Let me show you what God can truly do. Let me show you he can take somebody from the miry clay and raise them up just to do what he wants. You know what that should do to you? If you think you ain't got nothing, it should give you hope that God can do anything. Oh, it should enthuse you. When you see God working in me, you should know he can work in you. You should just know it. You should just believe it. You can say, he can do anything. Anything. I look at myself, and Brother Childers would say, he look at himself and say, only got a ninth grade education. Guess what? In this message, these books, I got like a ninth grade education. I'm not graduated like these guys are. But guess what? God can still use me. God can still do what he needs to do. How can I preach and not be wrong? I'm getting trained by the best. I'm getting trained by people that have never lost. They're telling me what to do. They're saying, Brother Jay, kick Satan like this. Brother Jay, step up like that. Brother Jay, move quicker. Brother Jay, be ready. Be ready in season and out. That's how my training's been. That's what God's been doing for me. I got people in my corner that don't even know what losing is. They've never lost a battle. They don't even know that mindset. That's not even an option. And you want to know why I'm so confident? Because of this. You want to know why I'm so bold? Because of this. You want to know why I can know every man I meet? Because of this. The doctors that we get in here, the doctrine is just so perfect that I can meet a Catholic and place them. I can meet a Baptist and place them. I can go to any church in the world and fellowship and have the right spirit, right atmosphere, and just be right there, full confidence, and know that God's obligated to speak to me wherever I go. He's with me, even in me, wherever I go. All these things tie, brothers. All these things come together. Because when you understand that you truly are God in flesh, all this other stuff makes sense. If I know that God is in me, predestination makes sense. It has to make sense. I know I've got somewhere I got to be. When you know that God's in you, you truly start to understand that your footsteps are ordered. When you know that God's there. When you know that God's there, you can read Romans 8 and 28 different than anybody else. All things work for my good. Oh, my. And that's why I love this, because we get such a balance that I'm not looking at my flesh. I know no man after the flesh. I don't care and whether, you know, they used to say, you know, Brother Childers sold used cars, which is like the worst sales profession, because you're selling something that somebody didn't want to somebody that doesn't know about it. So it's a shady situation all the way around. It's a car that doesn't work as good as it should, but you're selling it for the right price. That's, salesmen is what they get. I get a bad rap. I'm a salesman. I know it. I know the rap. But I don't care what his job is. I don't care what he does. I don't care what he does. It has nothing to do with the word. He's obligated to bring me the word. I'm going to come here obligated to hear it, obligated to receive it, obligated to pick it up. If God's got to correct, let God correct. That's not my place either. I don't touch the ark. You know, if you think about how our leadership works in here, and I'm going to get out of here. You think about how our leadership works in here, it goes from the top down. My kids don't correct me. My wife doesn't correct me. Pastor Moore corrects me. I correct my wife. My wife corrects the kids. That's an easy analogy. Guess how this should work here? Brother Jim shouldn't correct Pastor Moore. And Pastor Moore shouldn't be correcting Brother Childers. Do you see how that works? That's how leadership works. That's what we're taught here. You saying we're taught respect? I've been taught by the best. I've been taught respect by the best. I know how leadership works. I know how being a man of your word works. I know these things. If I get them wrong, it's not because I don't know what was right. I might be lazy. I might be slacking. I might be procrastinating. But I know what's right. That's different than everybody else in the world. They don't even know what is right and wrong. They don't even know who God is. They don't even know what the message of the hour is. Because if you truly believe that this was the message of the hour, there would be nothing that could stop you from getting here. Nothing. There is nothing that should. That's why the scripture says, I'm fully persuaded that neither death nor principalities should separate me from the love of God. This is where we get to express our love for God. I don't get to show it at work. You think they want to hear about what we're doing here? They could care less. They could care less. They want to know about what somebody's doing on social media. They want to know all these crazy stuff. I want to know what God wants. This is the only place where I can come and worship. I can fellowship in spirit and truth with believers. Believers. This is the easiest place to praise God. This is the atmosphere, the freedom that we get. This is the easiest place to praise God in the world. If you can't do it here, don't even tell me that you do it anywhere else. I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I can't. I don't believe you. You tell me you're at home singing and rejoicing? Okay. Okay. Who's playing the trumpet? Who's playing the piano? Who's backing you? Who knows the words to that song? Who's supporting you in this thing? If you don't do it, what I'm saying, if you don't do it in the easiest place where people would help you along the way, don't tell me you do it out there in the dirt, in the dark, with no help. You can't do this by yourself. That's why you need a body. If I could do this by myself, I wouldn't need you to be here. If I could preach and nobody could listen, I wouldn't need you to be here. But to have a pastor, you got to have a congregation. That's just how this thing works. This thing is supposed to be edifying the saints. I need some edifying going on. I need some saints. So I look at all these things that we get in here, and I'm going to close here. But I was just thinking that the characteristics should be the same. You know, I said the characteristics of God, but characteristics of the believer. It's the same thing. God's in the believers. Same characteristics should be following. Those things should be the same. So when we think about the Godhead, the special classes of people, and I just touched on the one class, and there's multiple classes, and Jeremiah talked about them, but I'm looking at this and saying, guys, do you know who you are? When Brother Don says, go shake hands, guess who you're about to go touch? That's why the song says, touching Jesus is all that really matters. Because your life will never be the same. These songs should mean something. If you really know that, if I knew that, that's why the people, when they were by the pool, they get stirred up and they get, but if they knew who was in the midst, nobody would have went to the pool. They would have been just touching Jesus. I'm coming here tonight just to touch Jesus. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm just saying, my life will never be the same. And that's what I'm getting at. Your life shouldn't be the same. It really shouldn't. What you were last year, you should be better. Amen. Better. And I mean better by what we judge better. You should be moving quicker to the Word of God. You should be less hesitant to when God's asking you to do something. That's what I mean by better. I'm not saying you should have a better job. I could care less about your job. And your job could care less about you. If you didn't go back, guess who would still be open? Your job. If you didn't show up, guess who would still have stuff to do? Your job. But I'm serving a God that needs me. He put me on this earth for a special reason. Whatever he wants me to do, that's what I want to do. This is the only thing that matters on this side. I understand that. And that's why we're a blessed group of people. We are a blessed group of people beyond. We are blessed. And that's, I can look at it and say, how did we stay with this thing for all these years? God did that. How did we stay right through all these years? God did that. How did we never lose? God did that. How can we go around the world and never be tested enough to fail? I mean, people are backing out of battles with us. Around the world, these are theologians. These weren't one and twosies. These were pastors and ministers of churches that wanted nothing to do with this. They didn't want to tackle this. And they never want to take us in the world because we got too much. Even like what Jesus said to Satan. He said, it is written, Satan. It is written. That's how we combat this thing. It is written that in the last days, that the Spirit would lead and guide you in all truth. That's what we got tonight, saints. We got all truth. God bless you, Pastor Moore.
Amen.
I like that title, Characteristics of God, because
when you get this, you'll pick up some character. You will. You will. You will change. And it won't be because when I come here, Brother Gilders didn't give me a list of 10 things that I needed to adjust in my life. He didn't tell me to do anything but eat the Word. And when he said eat the Word, I ate the Word. And when I ate the Word, everything started changing. God's characteristics start coming out automatically. You don't have to list. See, that's what you try to do in denomination. Try to list. You got to do this, this, and this. They put a bunch of laws in there to try to get some character there. Well, this Word gives you character. It really does. And I like that because, you know, I was thinking about Brother Childers. Said, you know, Brother Childers has been bold over the years. And people think, and they think boldness is just standing up and just being stubborn, just standing there and just not letting nobody tell you nothing, and you're just the one to know all the answers. That's not what Brother Childers' boldness is.
No.
That's not what the boldness of Brother Branham was. That's not the boldness of Jesus Christ. You know, the boldness comes from an understanding of the Word of God.
That's it.
That's where the boldness comes from. When you get a revelation of the Word of God, you can go anywhere in the world and nobody can stop your revelation. You will take the challenge because the challenge is not a challenge of who's stronger. It's not arm wrestling. It's not, you know, who's the strongest in the natural. It's who's got the revelation. And that's why when you get the revelation, it doesn't matter. The reason I'm as bold as I am is because of the revelation. You know, it has nothing to do with, oh, I'm going to be stubborn and you're not going to change me. You know what?
No.
Brother Branham said the zeal of the hour is to say I'm wrong. I've been more wrong than I've been right. And you know what makes me bold is because I know that. I'm not ashamed to say that. I know that's the zeal of the hour. I get a kick out of saying I had nothing right. I get a kick out of saying everything I got from this man. I get a kick out of saying I didn't know nothing. You know why I get a kick out of that? Because unless you got a revelation, you can't say that. Unless you know how it works, you can't say that. You're going to try to hold on to your thinking. You're going to try to hold on to your relationship with God. You know, you're going to try to say, oh, my God's bigger than yours. No. His God trumps my God. I just want to shake you good tonight. Because I ain't going to stop there. My God trumps your God. You say, well, I'm only following God. No, you can't follow God without following a man. Not in this hour.
That's right.
Not in this hour. Not in this hour. Not in this hour. You say, oh, well, nope. My God trumps you. Sit down, shut up, and learn. Jesus said, learn of me. Take my yoke upon you. You know, Brother Childers, when I come here, I took what he gave me.
If you're not following God and a man, you're not following God.
Say that slow for the heart of hearing. If you're not following God and a man, you're not following God.
Simple as that.
Simple as that. You say, well, I've had a relationship. You know what? To hell with your relationship. This is the hour of the Son of Man. This is the Word made flesh. We talk about the Word being made flesh. Without it being in skin, you don't get it.
You don't get it.
You say, well, I got more God than you. Like I said, real boldness is having a revelation and knowing who you are.
Oh, yeah.
I know that there's nobody in this place that has any more revelation than I do.
And that's what makes you.
And that's what makes me the pastor. Right. If you had more, you'd be standing here and I'd be sitting there. Simple as that. If you use common sense, you know, God called me, he didn't call you. That's what got me out of trouble with Brother Childers. I knew that when I come to this church, I knew nothing that this man had. And I knew that he was telling me things that I never heard. He was bringing scriptures that I thought I knew and found out I didn't know. Like I told Isaiah, I said, you don't even know enough to know what question to ask. That's where I was when I got here. I didn't know enough to even ask a question. I feel good to say that, Brother Childers. I like blacking the devil's eye with that. Because sometimes we feel like we know something. Sometimes we feel like we got something. You don't get anything outside of what I give you.
See, that's what made me bold.
Now, that's the boldness.
Just want you
That's the boldness that we're talking about. The boldness isn't that Brother Childers was the strongest man in here. He's going to beat us up and take... No, that wasn't it. The boldness was the revelation that he had.
Yeah.
The reason I'm talking bold right now is because I got the revelation that he has. You get what I got and you can do it. Other than that, you huff and puff and blow all you want. You're blowing against brick, brother. You're blowing against brick, sister. God don't move. Your revelation won't trump my revelation. Your conversation with God won't trump my conversation with God because I've got the characteristics of God. You said, well, you better prove it. I don't even have to prove it.
I could not talk the way I talk. Unless I had a revelation.
The revelation. That's
I talk so positive, the devil don't know what to do.
Well, that's what I'm trying to let everybody know. The boldness doesn't come because you're strong.
No.
The boldness doesn't come because you're stubborn. The boldness doesn't come because you think you know something. The boldness comes by revelation. You can only be as bold as your revelation is. And your revelation is going to put you in your place.
See, I believe, Brother Moore, that what makes me like this, and don't get hurt, I recognize you fellows, in a sense, but there ain't a man in here got more than I got.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Not one.
That's right. And that's
now,
why
it don't mean I don't recognize you.
You got to.
If I got what I say I've got, it'll make me recognize.
Well, like I said years ago, because I had preachers here who wanted to be something, and I would tell them, I said, when you get 40 years of pastoring in, and when you've done what this man has done, I'll think about giving you a microphone. If you started running today, you couldn't even catch up with me, let alone catch up with him. Run as hard
as right.
You can. And but see, that's where the revelation comes in. You got to recognize your position and get positionally placed. But then your boldness comes. I mean, I couldn't. Sisters got to talk bold. Brothers got to talk bold.
What makes me follow this man? You tell me.
Right.
What I follow. This man.
Right. Why?
I believe what he preaches.
You know, that was a simple...
So it don't make no difference what anybody else thinks.
No, I don't care what they think. You know, Brother Jay said something tonight that I wrote it down. It was just so simple. He says, I like coming here because I'm preaching to believers. He said, I thought, wow. So simple. The reason I like to preach here is because I'm preaching to people who believe me. If you don't believe me, you don't belong here.
Right.
I'm not even preaching to you. He said, and I thought, wow,
you're wasting my time.
You're wasting your time. And I won't even slow down for you to figure it out. Brother Childers always used to say, he said, I'll put skates under you. What does that mean? That means he ain't trying to keep you. This church is self-sufficient. God is here. The characteristics of God is here. And the characteristics are that the word will come forth, and you will receive the word, and you will say amen to the word, and you will submit yourself to the word, and you will become one with the word. And when you come one with the word, you become one with the body because they're one and the same. And those very characteristics will live out of you with every heartbeat. That's the way it works, Brother Childers.
Oh, yeah.
Brother Childers didn't have to convince me he was right. I heard the word, and the word was right. I never argued with him one time because he was right.
I knew that Brother Moore knew that I was right.
Oh, I told you.
He had no problem.
No problem.
Following me.
And see, that's what always made me laugh, because I guess because I come out of a family of 10, you're used to not getting the best piece of chicken. By the time the bowl gets around, you might get a wing, if not the bottom part of the back. Yes, my mother cut the back in half because she had so many kids. Somebody got the top part and somebody got the bottom half. And you didn't even know there were two halves to the back. You might not get the best piece of chicken. But you know what? When that piece got on your plate, you were thankful for it. So that put a little something in me in the neck. You may not have had the new clothes when you went to school. Matter of fact, when you took your school picture, you had the same jacket on your brother 3-up had on when he took his school picture. So it's not about you. It's about getting the job done. So some things in the natural made me understand how to get the job done. So when I come here and I heard a man that was preaching something I'd never heard before, and it wasn't anything I was used to getting. I was used to not having my way. I was used to not have the last word. I was used to humbling myself because there were 9 other people ahead of me, or 8 or 7 or whatever it was. I was used to that. So when he said I didn't have it, I didn't argue with him. I said, then what do I have to do to get it? Because I knew I didn't have what he had. And I knew I wanted what he had. And I knew I saw the characteristics of God just flowing out of him. And I didn't see the characteristics of God in me. I saw it in him. And I wanted those characters in me. And so what did I do? I submitted myself. I said, what must I do? You say I don't have it? Tongues knocked to evidence? I can honestly say I agree with you. Because I can see that what you have, I don't have. That ain't so hard. But that's the hardest thing for people to do. Brother Branham said the zeal of the hour is not to say I'm right. It's to say I'm wrong. People cannot say they're wrong. You get that in home. You get that everywhere. Nobody wants to say they're wrong. But that's the way that God is going to get you to humble yourself enough so that he can give you the character that you need to overcome with. So that boldness that you see in Brother Childers, what people try to do is take that word. They try to take the boldness and think, well, that's just him being tough. No. It takes a revelation to bring the boldness. It was boldness that took Jesus to Calvary. Right. Amen. That took boldness. But it was revelation. It wasn't because he was so strong. Matter of fact, he fell holding the cross. And they had to have it carried for him because he's so weak in the natural. But he was bold in his revelation. Amen. What made Brother Childers bold all these years was his revelation. He was, I wasn't even there, but I can guarantee you, he wasn't so bold on the revelation until 1973. Because he didn't know what it was either.
Right, I didn't.
But when the revelation came, he got up and told everybody, the believers will come this way.
That's what I said.
Now that's bold. That wasn't bold because he was just tough. That was bold because he had a revelation.
What made me say that?
What made you say this? Because you knew by revelation that this is the revelation or the body change. Yes, sir. And if everybody gets a body change, we'll get this revelation. So that's why when I heard Jay talking about the characteristics, I was getting turned on because I'm thinking, yeah, let's talk about characteristics. Let's talk about really what it is. Let's talk about if you want the characteristics of God, get the revelation.
Amen.
Get the revelation. That revelation will bring you boldness. That revelation will put you right in the middle of the word. You won't be in a ditch on the left or the right. You'll be right in the middle of the word, and you'll hit it every time. That's why a person with the revelation can talk bold, because they won't be wrong. Amen. You don't hear us coming up every other week talking about, I preached a message last Sunday, and I just really was off in here. I got to correct this, and I got to bring it back on here. You don't hear us doing that. You don't see, Brother Children's had this revelation since 73. Has been word upon word upon word upon word. I've had it since 1980. It's been word upon word upon word upon word. Jeremiah's had it since 2000. I
had so much word, I didn't even know what to do.
Didn't know what to do with it. We're still eating on
it. Too much.
We are still
too rich.
That's why I said that what you had back in 73, we are still breaking down today. That's how powerful it is. Now, you want characteristics? That word that you take in will cause you to become the character that you need to be. You won't have to practice. You won't have to study it. You won't have to try to make it. It will just be your very act, your very life. The characteristics will come out of you because the characteristics are going to make you fulfill the word of the hour. That's all it's here to do. It's not here to give you a family. You might lose your family. It's not here to give you a job. You might lose your job. It's not here to give you a good car, a good home. You might lose those. But you'll never lose the revelation because all it will do from the moment you get your first revelation is build on that thing until you get a body change. Talk about characteristics. Now you know what to look for. Look for somebody that's bold on the revelation, somebody who knows who they are, somebody standing on the Word of God, and is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm not one day up and one day down. I'm not one day in and one day out. I'm not one day wanting to serve God, and the next day I quit.
Talk about it,
Pastor. You just know where you're at. And when you know where you're at, you can talk bold. You can black the devil's eye because you know what? Yes, I'll be here next week. Yes, I'll be here next year.
And
yes,
the
first 2 years, I'll be here.
You know what it does? Gives you a rest.
Gives you a rest. And then that's where the boldness comes from. Not stubbornness. Don't get stubbornness and boldness mixed up, because stubbornness can keep you from listening to God. Stubbornness stops you from growing. Stubbornness stops you from manifesting. Stubbornness stops you from showing the characteristics of God. But revelation gives you the boldness to manifest the revelation of God. And that's what we're here to do. The end. That's what Jay was telling us in a nutshell. That's what I got out of Jay's message.
That's why you fellas sit here tonight and heard a man talk that was so positive. It scares the devil. That's me. There's nobody in this place like me.
Mm-mm.
Now you got your revelation.
Right.
And you know where you're at. But you don't know where I'm at.
That's exactly right. And anybody that tries to pass you up don't even know what
and
they're
I
doing.
I taught this man, in a sense, what he knows.
What do you mean, in a sense?
And I believe he knows what he's talking about.
I know what I'm talking about. You know what, Brother Childers,
many
services, we walk out the door after I preach it. I'm going to let you go here in a minute. But I go out there, and Brother Childers come out the door, shake my hand, and he'll say, "Great message. I enjoyed it." And I tell him every time. I said, "You taught me."
Amen.
Yeah, you taught me.
I got it
from you. He's right. I've taught him.
Because you know what happens?
Everything he knows.
That's right.
And he don't get hurt.
Now, I'm glad to say it.
Yeah, you say that.
You know what? I'd rather you teach me than anybody else.
Amen.
I've seen people who taught things that went off. I've seen people that taught things that want to ditch this side or that side. I ain't listening to them. That's why I don't listen to everybody. But what I've been taught has kept me in the middle of the road. It's kept me here for 38 years.
You've seen it work.
It's been steady all the way. Anybody in this place who knows me, and you all should know me, know I've been the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can't even convince me that I don't have the characteristics of God.
Right.
I wouldn't even listen to you.
Right.
But it's by revelation. It's because of the revelation I have. That's what makes us who we are. Come on, musicians. Yes, ma'am.
I have been listening to the doctor, and my husband explained it to me because I kind of asked him, you know, the difference between different stuff and whatnot. And he said the doctrine's more like a foundation. So I was like, okay, well, basically, it's an opportunity for me to study, right, to learn, to get a word that is the foundation of the teachings and whatnot. But every service that I've been to and that I've watched online or whatever with the doctrine has had a piece in it that is just like opened something inside of me, and it's like taking the word in a different way. And, you know, the other services that I went to before we started the doctrine session, you know, I'd come in, my questions would get answers, God would speak to me, I'd hear it. I didn't expect that here, but even tonight, you know, there was things that I didn't even know that I needed to know I didn't, like, you know, tools that I didn't even know I need to put in my backpack because I didn't realize we're getting spoken in doctrine, in foundations of the Word. And I had no idea. I had no idea that I would find it like that. And then, you know, it just happens. And it's something that is helping, you know, combat, because I'm sitting here dealing with, you know, the flesh, and I started to doubt, and I'm like, well, maybe I'm wrong. You know, and I am wrong, just not how I thought I was. I just needed to hold on to the revelation and wait for the rest of it to resolve itself, because God's got this, I've got this. I just have to be patient and use the tools. That's all I have to do.
That's what the doctors are for, is to give you something that you can stand on. And when you get the doctrines right, I don't have to worry about your life. I don't have to worry about nothing, because everything else will just dovetail together. But if you're fighting a doctrine, I don't have to worry about the rest of you.
So bold.
That's what made you bold. That's why I was sitting there.
It's my doctrine.
That's why I wanted everybody to understand that.
There's nothing like it.
Because, see, people hear you say bold. I'm bold. And then the first thing you want to do is be stubborn. Well, I know who I am. I know what I have. I know. And it's like, no, that's not what you're saying. So I wanted them to understand that your boldness is only by the revelation doctrine that you have. That doctrine in you, revealed to you, will make you bold enough to stand up in the devil's mustache and tell him you're going to heaven when you've made your bed in hell.
Brother Moore, if they knew how I've stood in the face of the devil over the years.
Right.
Minister after minister.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere I went.
Right.
15, 20, 30 ministers. And I downed them all.
Mm-hmm.
What made me so bold? The revelation.
The revelation. That's it. And that's what I wanted everybody to understand before we left here tonight. I said, they need to understand when Brother Chu was talking about boldness. It's not just stubbornness or just standing.
No,
it was the revelation. Because Brother Childers always said, you know, if I'm wrong, I can change. And then Brother Branham even said it. He said, I'm a man. I can change my mind.
Yeah.
If I got a doctrine or something wrong, I can fix that in just a jiffy. That's no problem. And being bold and standing steadfast and just standing, that's stubbornness. That's different. The revelation brings the boldness that you're talking about.
I've seen them, brother. And you have too. I've seen minister after minister, hundreds of them. I've traveled around the world.
Yeah.
I ain't seen them one that could damn what we preach.
No.
I ain't seen them one.
Like I said, you went as far east and I went as far west.
Yeah.
The results were the same.
Think about it.
The results are the same.
Amen.
The word is working mightily in me.
Amen.
Page 24. No matter what the circumstance, what I feel or see, that's what makes you stand. The word is working mightily in me. Amen. The word is... Whoa, what key is that?
G.
Step it down a little bit, maybe F. The word is working mightily in me. Oh, the word is working... feel or see, the word is working mightily in me. That's not our song. Oh, the word is working mightily in me. Oh, yes, the word is working mightily in me. Oh, no matter what the circumstances, what I feel or see, the word is working mightily. Oh, yes, the word is working mightily in me. Praise God. The word is working mightily in me. Five. Oh, no matter what the circumstances, what I feel or see, I almost forgot this. You know, they've got this flood going on down in Texas and Louisiana. It's going across the coast there. I want us this coming Sunday to do a special offering. Now, I'm going to find out who to get it to, but I want to give us an opportunity to do something. Remember when Katrina went through? We did a special offering, and I think we bought stuff, and they loaded up here a big truck and took it down. And we helped out. So this Sunday, I'm going to be gone this weekend, but Jay, if you make sure we get a special offering together, and then the church will put something in that.
You're on the
I'm leaving. The word is working mightily in me.
Amen.
But I want to do that offering this weekend and see what we can do, and then I'll look into the Red Cross or somebody. We'll look into somebody that do what we can do to help out. There's a lot of needs. I've got cousins down in Texas. My one cousin, I called her today. She's stranded in her house. Can't get out. She's got food and stuff in her house, but her electric's off. She charges her phone in her car. So there's people in that case and worse. So we want to do, we don't do a lot to around this area, but when these kind of disasters come, I think as a human being, Amen. We should do something. Amen. You know, we're part of this country, the good and the bad. When there's a disaster, it's us. We're identified with it. Amen. So let's do that this Sunday, and like I said, we'll get the church to put some money with it, and we'll find out whether to give it to the Red Cross or if there's some way to get it down there. So, amen. God bless you. The word is working mightily. Let's make it work. Amen. No matter what the circumstances, what I feel or see, the word is working mightily in me. Oh, yes, the word is working mightily in me. Oh, yes, the word is working mightily.